Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 21. I'm advertised to speak to you on the subject of the mother who laughed. The mother who laughed. And the story is in Genesis 21. Let me read with you the first six verses. The Lord said unto Sarah, visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore unto him, Isaac. If you have a margin in your Bible, you notice that the name Isaac means what? I heard it. Say it again. Laughter. What an unusual name to give a baby. Babies start out not laughing, they start out crying, don't they? They called this baby Laughter. Isaac. Verse 4, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And I want you to underline that in your Bible, or in your memory, if you will, that sixth verse. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Not laugh at me. They probably did that too. I don't know. But he said, this laugh is going to be contagious. All that hear of this very astonishing bit of news, they're going to laugh with me. You know, there's nothing wrong with laughing, providing we don't laugh at the wrong thing. No one in his right mind would laugh at cancer. Did you hear the news? Mr. So-and-so has cancer. And then everybody would burst out laughing. You never heard of such a thing in your life. We don't laugh at cancer. We don't laugh at death. We don't laugh at terror. We shudder. Maybe weep. Well, we don't laugh. You say there are things in life that we meet every day that it would be the highest form of sacrilege, if not insanity, to laugh at them. And yet there are other things that God would encourage us to laugh. There's nothing wrong with laughter in itself, any more than there's anything wrong with weeping. There's legitimate weeping and there's legitimate laughing. And Sarah, at 90 years of age, the wife of the patriarch Abraham, laughed. And she said, everybody who hears this story is going to laugh with me. I want to think with you this morning of the laugh that sneers. The laugh that what? The laugh that sneers. What's that? And then the laugh that shouts. And the laugh that sings, and the laugh that spreads. Now let's go back to the backdrop of this. Let me tell you the story that is related in the 18th chapter. There was an old man one day, very, very hot day in southern Palestine, and he was sitting in his tent door. And he had a large handkerchief in his hand, and with that large handkerchief, the old 100-year-old man was mopping his brow. It was very hot. And as he was sitting there, waiting for the sun perhaps to decline, bring on the evening cool, that old man looked around and he saw three men approaching him.
three men drawing near to him. He said, I've never seen these men before. They seem to be strangers. I wonder who they are. Now, let me fill you in that these who appeared to be men and who came in human form were actually visitors from another world.
What's that?
They're visitors from another world. Two of them are angels. And the other, hold your breath, is the creator of angels. The living Lord himself, Jehovah, in human form. Now, you say, explain that. I can't explain that. Of course I can. All I know is what it says. That the living God came down in one of those pre-incarnation appearances in the Old Testament, and Jehovah came in human form and two angels. Abraham didn't recognize them as such. They were travelers, they were strangers in the area, and Abraham, my friends, in true Oriental hospitality, he said, sit down, gentlemen. He put out his hand, he greeted them, he welcomed them, and then he said, you must be tired and hungry and footsore. May I show some Oriental courtesy to you? And so as they sat down at his invitation under the tree, he washed their feet, he refreshed them, and then he put on a meal for them. He gave quick orders, for Abraham was a very wealthy man. He was a sheikh of his clan, as it were. And he called for food, and he gave them the best food that he could produce, not just the cold leftovers. He gave them roast veal and hot baked bread, and he gave them good feed and fed them. And after the meal was over, the Jehovah, one of the trio, said, Abraham, sit down. I want to talk to you. I've got some good news for you. You're going to become a daddy. A daddy? My dear friend, I may look young, but I'm 100 years old. No way. And your wife is going to become a mother. This must have taken the breath of Abraham, although I must say, my friends, that he had already received an intimation of that very thing back in the 17th chapter, preceding the 18th chapter. God had told him that. God had told him that he had called Abraham in order that he might be the progenitor of a great race. Not only Israel, but the nations. And kings would come forth from him, and through him, and in his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God had told him that. And now the time had come on God's timetable for the fulfillment of that. And then the Lord said to Abraham, where's your wife? Abraham says, she's in the tent over there. I want to tell you, Abraham, that she's going to become a mother. And Sarah, who was eavesdropping and listening in on the conversation, if I may paraphrase it, said, how old does that fellow think I am? He may think I'm in my 30s, actually, I'm in my 90s, and there's no way, by the process of natural generation, that such a thing could be. She laughed within herself. Where does it say that? 18th chapter, the book of Genesis, and look at verse 12 verse, and Sarah laughed. How? How'd she laugh? Ha, 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 ha. No, she didn't. She laughed within herself. She laughed within herself, saying, after I have pleasure, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. She laughed. She heard that announcement. And she said, and she tried to smother it, and she laughed within herself, and she said, no way, no way. The laugh that sneers. She heard the word of God. She did not believe it. Just the plain fact is she didn't believe it, and she smothered her ridicule. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did your wife laugh? Sarah, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Then was she telling the truth or wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She hadn't laughed audibly, but she had laughed inwardly. And the Lord knows the heart. And when the finger pointed at Sarah for laughing, she said, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. You see, my friends, unbelief always produces fear. Unbelief always produces fear. I don't believe it. I don't believe it, and I don't want to believe it, and I shan't believe it. And I will not give it any hospitality in my life whatsoever. She laughed within herself. The laugh that sneers at the word of God. And she was rebuked. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, nothing too hard for the Lord. In other words, if the Lord is in this, things are going to happen on a supernatural level. You know, my friends, it's a serious thing to laugh inwardly or audibly at the word of God. You remember the time in the New Testament when a certain synagogue ruler had a 12-year-old daughter who had died? Mark tells us the story in the 5th chapter of the death of Jairus' daughter. Do you remember that they sent an SOS to Jesus to come before death came? To come quickly because the girl was very, very low and life was hanging by a thread and the Lord was interrupted on the way by someone else who wanted a healing or a touch. And when the Lord had finished with that woman that touched the hem of his garment, some came from the ruler's house and said, don't bother the master anymore. The girl's gone. She died. Don't know why he didn't hurry, but the girl's gone. You might as well forget about it now. But the Lord Jesus did not go back. The Lord Jesus moved toward the house where the death had just taken place. And when he came to the house, do you remember what he found? He found a lot of celebration going on. He found the professional mourners on the job. I said, not the real mourners, the professional mourners, the hired mourners that put on a show and whipped up a lot of emotion. And they were on hand and the flute players, and they were playing and dancing around, putting on a little dance with the flutes and so on. How incongruous to a situation like that. There's a corpse in that bedroom there. The little 12-year-old girl is dead. And then the Lord Jesus made an announcement. He said, the damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping. The damsel, the girl, is not dead, but she's sleeping. You know what they did? They laughed him to scorn. That cuss! In the Gospels it says that goofy time. They laughed at him. They put down the flutes and they laughed. And they said, here's a crazy man. He doesn't know the difference between sleep and death. The girl's dead. She's not sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. Now the Lord Jesus was on his way to bring life to that little girl's body. He was going to speak the word, and that girl was going to come back from death, and that's exactly what happened, and he was moving toward that scene of death. You remember what he did? He put them all out. That's Mother Stern. He said, you flute players, you unbelievers, you laughers, get going! And he put them all out, and there's force in that word. He said, you don't belong here. He kicked them all out, and he took Peter and James and John and the parents of the little girl, Jairus and his wife. Peter, James, and John, that's 3. The mother and father is 5, and the Lord Jesus was 6. And those 6 went into that bedroom, and they closed the door, and the Lord Jesus spoke to that little lifeless body. And with the word, there's power, and light, new life, flowed into her body, and she sat up. And then the Lord said to the mother and father, now you give her something to eat. Young converts need to be fed. Did you hear that? And they could do that. They couldn't raise her from the dead, but they could give her food after she was raised from the dead. The Lord still works like that today. But you know, my friends, those mockers, those laughers, were insulting the Christ of God. Imagine anybody laughing in ridicule and mockery for the Holy Son of God. You say, I wouldn't do that. No, I say, I wouldn't do it either. But my friends, I've prayed my wicked heart has often done it, just like Sarah. Sarah heard the word of God, and she laughed within herself, and she said, no way, I simply don't believe it. I don't believe it. Let's not belong to that class that says that God is not the God who can do things today in the very area of the extraordinary and the miraculous. He can. He can. I know a lot of Christians have no place in their theology for that. Their little theology will not permit them to handle that at all. The God of the New Testament, the Christ of the New Testament, the Spirit of God of the New Testament are alive and well today. God is still working and raising people from the dead spiritually. Those who are dead in trespasses and in sins, as they cry out and say, Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus is right there. He quickens the dead. He gives life to the dead. Paul wrote to those Ephesians who had been utter pagans, baptized in all vile witchcraft of the Ephesian idolatrous rites and symbols. And he said, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Let's not laugh like Sarah did. She laughed in her heart. That's the laugh that sneers. But that isn't the end of the story. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Got your Bible? Got your Bible? Hebrews chapter 11. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And verse, let me see, verse 9. The epistle to the Hebrews. And look at verse 11. Verse 11. Are you ready for a shock? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because,
do you see what I see? Because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Now then, we've got a problem. You see the problem, don't you? The New Testament contradicts the Old.
Is that the problem?
The Old Testament says she didn't believe. New Testament says she did believe. So, both are not true. Yes, they are. Both are true. Both are true. Now, let's get it straight. When Sarah heard the word of God that she was to become a mother, she laughed in unbelief. She laughed inwardly, and God saw her heart the same as he sees your heart this morning, and he knows what you're doing and what you were saying yesterday and last week. He knows you, and he knows me, and he knows the motives of the heart, as well as the words of our lips. All right. Sarah did not believe when she heard the word. New Testament says she did believe. Contradiction? No. Put it together and you've got the whole picture. I believe that after that rebuke, is there anything too hard for the Lord, Sarah? This is not the guesswork and the speculations of men. This is the word of the living God. You're going to become a mother. Whether you're 90 years old or 900 years old, it makes no difference to the God who brings life out of death. And your husband is going to become a daddy, and you're going to have a son, and he's going to be part of the seed, the procession of prophecy that will ultimately bring the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. She did not believe. But you know, after that rebuke, listen carefully, after that rebuke, I believe that Sarah went to her knees. I believe she went to her knees. And she said, oh God, forgive me. I didn't realize it was you that was talking out there. I thought it was just some stranger that was just sounding off. She believed. And it says in Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11 says nothing about her unbelief. You get the facts in the book of Genesis, and you get the motives and the underlying motives in the epistle to the Hebrews. By faith, verse 11, Sarah herself received strength. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child in her old age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So the unbelief, dear friends, blossomed into faith. Am I right? The unbelief that was like the Arctic, that had frozen everything else and made her a coward and a cynic. The sun shone through and the ice melted. And she says, Lord, forgive me. That rebuke did its work. It humbled her and it brought about faith. and she received strength by faith to conceive seed. And she was delivered of a child when she was 90 years old because she judged him faithful who has promised. Had God promised a son? Yes. Does God play games? No. He means what he says. And Sarah said, Lord, forgive me for my wretched, rotten unbelief. Jim Elliot, dear Jim Elliot, who was martyred by those Alka Indians, used to say, Lord, save us from our sad, sweet, and stinking selves. I say amen, Jim Elliot. Save us, Lord, from our sad, sweet, and stinking selves. My friends, a change came over Sarah. She received strength by faith. So will you. Has God said something to you? Has God said something to you? Then, my friend, you better believe it. You better stand on it. You better stand on it. What about Abraham? Abraham had a promise, the same promise given to him. And when Abraham got the promise, he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, Lord, I've got a son already, and his name is Ishmael. Not the son of Sarah, the son of Hagar. The son of Abraham, just the same as the father. All right. And Abraham had that word given to him. And Abraham said, oh, no, Lord, don't need to bother with miracles. I've got a son. You better use Ishmael. And God said, no, Ishmael is not the right one. The seed's going to come through Sarah. You know what Abraham did? Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, if you will. Romans chapter 4. Be prepared for something great. Fourth chapter of the book of Romans. Look at verse 18. Speaking of Abraham, Romans 4, 18. Have you got it? Let me read it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now the Holy Spirit says, isn't that an interesting story, but I want you to keep on listening. It wasn't written for his sake alone. It wasn't written just because of Abraham, but for us also. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Isn't that wonderful? Abraham's hesitation and unbelief also changed, and out of that emerged faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He brushed aside all improbabilities. And he said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. And that's not my business. But I know you're going to do it because you promised you would. And he staggered not. I love that. He didn't stagger with unbelief. Do you do that sometimes? Stagger. Stagger. He staggered not with unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I see some shouting there. The faith that shouts. He gave glory to God. He said, Lord, I believe. I believe, my friends, that when God speaks, we should say amen and confess with our mouths what we believe in our hearts. People that come to Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior and never make a public confession of faith in Christ, they lose out immensely. They lose out in terms of joy and victory, and God loses out in terms of his glory. Abraham shouted it. He gave glory to God. He said, I'm going to become a daddy. God is going to fulfill his word. And some of the smart alecks may have said, how? It isn't scientific. So what? It doesn't make sense.
Not according to human logic. But there's a God here who transcends all reason.
Doesn't contradict reason. God never contradicts reason. He transcends reason.
And there's a big difference.
For God is the impossible.
And Abraham said, Lord, I believe. And he shouted his joy. What happened? What happened? Well, we read what happened in the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. At the time appointed. God's appointed time. I was noticing the other day, I was just thumbing through this, and God said 3 or 4 times, at the set time, at the set time, at the appointed time, I'm going to do it. God's ways, brethren and sisters, are perfect. And God's timings are perfect, too. Did you hear what I said? His ways are perfect, and his timings are perfect. I'm such an impatient cuss. I want it now. Lord says, you wait. Leave it with me. Very hard to wait for the striking of God's time. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. God works to his own timetable. At the set time, Sarah became a mother. 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. And the Lord said unto Sarah, it did unto Sarah as he had said. And the Lord said, did as he had spoken, and Sarah became a mother, and Isaac is born. Now notice verse 6 again of chapter 21. And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear it will laugh with me. I think that's wonderful. When that baby boy was born, they gave him the name Laughing. Laughter. That's what Isaac. Itzhak. Isaac. Means laughter. But I would say, well now, Sarah, do you think that's a very good idea? Because that will remind you, that boy with that name will remind you that you laughed at God when you were eavesdropping and listening in at the tent door and you heard the announcement and you said, no way. Oh yeah, that's not in. That'll remind you. But you know, I repeat again, Sarah underwent a change. You'd never know it excepting from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seeds. By faith, she received strength. This was a miracle. God rejuvenated her at 90 years of age, and out of the barrenness of Sarah's womb and the sterility of her husband, who was 100 years old, out of that impossible situation, the God of resurrection moved. He's not dependent upon nature's springs. He works on different levels. With God, nothing shall be impossible. What a God we have. How we box him in. No wonder C.S. Lewis wrote a little book called Your God is Too Small. What kind of a God do you have? What God, kind of a God do I have? I have a God, my friends, that works the impossible. And he brought his own Isaac out of death after the cross. After that terrible avalanche of judgment on the cross. And when man had done his worst to the Lord Jesus, and God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and the work was finished on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And let me say this, that the risen and enthroned Christ this morning is God's laughter, God's Isaac. In Christ, God has laughed. God has rejoiced. Because of the victory that has been accomplished through the greatest of all defeats. God laughed in Christ. I think of our Lord at the age of 30, standing in the River Jordan, about to enter on his public ministry. Up to that time he had never preached one sermon. Up to that time he had never performed one single miracle. And he stands in the Jordan River, and John the Baptist baptizes him, and something happens. But it never happened to any of John's converts. And John the Baptist had baptized, I suggest, thousands. I suggest he had baptized thousands.
They came to him from all over the country. But here was a baptism that was different. The heavens were open.
What's that?
The Old Testament, the heavens were closed. God was inside and man was outside. But now, the heavens are open. And a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God laughed. A laugh of joy in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit said amen, and the Holy Spirit as a dove came down and lighted upon the Lord Jesus. And he became the only Spirit-filled, constantly Spirit-filled man that God has ever known. Jesus Christ was the only one who was always filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You and I are not. The filling of the Spirit, there's an initial filling and then there's a repeated filling. The Lord Jesus had filling once. And heaven laughed at his baptism. When God raised him from the dead the third day and enthroned him, God laughed in triumph. God laughed in triumph. In joy. Christ is alive today. My friends, when the disciples were gathered together 50 days after the resurrection of Christ in that large upper room, they came together with one accord and they were praying. And something happened. My friends, they all began to laugh. I believe in that upper room the joy of heaven came down and just surged in on those men and women. And they began to sing in that upper room. And they began to praise God in that upper room. And the joy, the laughter spread all over the city. And they went down and they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. And they were quoting the Psalms and they were rejoicing. And they were saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And the mockers laughed in unbelief. And the mockers said, they're all drunk. But there are many there that said, no, this isn't drunkenness, this is reality. This is a joy that we've never had before. God has laughed in Christ. Christianity, my friends, is God's triumph. He holds out salvation, full, free, and eternal to all the lost sons of Adam. God has made me to laugh. God has given me joy. But Sarah said something more than that. Not only the laugh that sneers, and the laugh that shouts, and the laugh that sings, that brings forth Isaac, but it's also the laugh that spreads. Did you hear that? Where's that? That's in Genesis 21 and verse 6, my text. All they that hear will laugh with me. Not at me, although I suggest that they did laugh at Sarah, too. It was real, but it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous in some ways, wasn't it? But she didn't say that. They laugh at me. She said they laugh with me. Everybody that hears it, they'll share this joy. And Christianity, my friends, puts a song in the heart, and it puts a spring in the step, and it puts a testimony on the lips, and it also, my friends, provides us with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a laugh that spreads. All that hear it will laugh with me. You know, when I think of some of those New Testament cases, I think of that woman at the well. I think of that woman at the well, the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, to whom the Lord addressed himself and said, will you give me a drink? She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And she began to remonstrate, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, this isn't culture, this isn't kosher, we shouldn't do this. And then the Lord began to talk to her about the living water. And she felt a thirst in her soul. And she began to talk to him about religion, about the right place to worship. A lot of people do that, it's kind of a red herring, they talk about church. Church has nothing to do with it, my friends. It's Christ that sent her. And then the Lord said to her, go and call your husband. She said, I don't have any husband. That's right, said Jesus, you've had five of them. Wow! The man you're living with now is not your husband. My friends, he dealt not only with her heart, he dealt with her conscience. And he went right to the root of her problem. She was living with other men, shacking up with other men, and she was a prostitute or she was an adulteress, I don't care. She was living in sin. That's what it is. And she recoiled and said, I don't have a husband. She said, you've got five of them. And when she got her breath, she said, Mister, you're a prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet. See, a prophet speaks to the conscience. The teacher speaks to more to the intellect. They probed her conscience. And she became thirstier than ever. And finally, my friends, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to that dear woman as Messiah, the Savior, and the one who would give the living fountain of water. And forget about this well, Jacob's well. I'm going to put a well, a spring right inside of you, and it'll spring up into everlasting life. That's worship. That's praise in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The well, the spring, it's really spring. It's not well. He uses another word, a spring of water bubbling up into everlasting life. My friend, she drank. And then she did what? She left her water pot. And she hurried back into the town of Sychar where everybody knew her. And she said, come and see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I want to introduce you to my Savior. He's out there by the well curb. And she brought those people to Jesus. And there were a great multitude converted. Now, Jesus never told her to go and testify. He never told that woman you should take some seminars in evangelism and how to approach people. That may be all right, my friends, but if the fire isn't burning there and the desire isn't there, all the intellectual instructions won't be of much value. It has to be the explosive power of a new affection flowing out. The Lord didn't tell her to go and witness. He couldn't contain her. He couldn't hold her. She went out and she witnessed. The same with Andrew. Andrew spent 2 hours or 10 hours with the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1. He found out Jesus was for real. He was the Son of God. He went out and he found Peter. He said, Peter, I got to bring you to Jesus. He's my Savior. I want to introduce you. And Andrew brought Peter to Christ. The New Testament's full of that. I was preaching to you a few weeks ago about those two on the way to Emmaus. After the Lord revealed himself to those two on the way to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, they got up the same hour of the night and they hustled back. Although their feet were sore and blistered, I'm sure, they went back the 7 miles to find the disciples and said, guess what? He's alive. He's alive. Are you laughing? Do you have his joy? Before he went back to heaven, the Lord Jesus said these words, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have my joy in yourselves, and that your joy should be full. John 14. I've spoken these things unto you that you might have my joy in yourself. The Lord was no grouch. The Lord was no complainer. Had Christians like that? Full of woes, full of themselves, full of their problems. Poor me. The Lord was never like that. The Lord had problems. Don't forget it. The Lord was under pressures. Don't forget it. Pressures that you and I will never go through. Under constant pressure, the fire...
I'm going to give until this death.
Knowing the night before the cross what was going to happen to him, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Can you have peace in the midst of the fire? In the midst of all adverse circumstances? All kinds of arrows of criticism coming in from all directions? Poor bodies, aches, pains, and all the rest of it. The Lord said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I believe God wants to do something in your life. I know he does. Something greater that you've never had before. He wants to fill you with his joy, with his peace, and with his